The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Amen. Jeanette and I were out a little while ago, and who here's from California? I got Corey, I got Rich, Jan, okay. So we got actually, for a church our size, we got a pretty good California wing here, which might explain why our, no, we got a pretty good California wing here. And so someone had told me, someone had told me, I've never been to California once, and that was only at the airport, so that doesn't really qualify. Okay, LAX, and doesn't really qualify as being in California. So, that being said, I was talking with someone, I was actually Valerie and Corey about a couple weeks ago, and I was just making a comment about California, and Valerie's statement was to me, if you've never been, you don't really know how beautiful it is, and how much diversity California is. And then Rich had told me, you know, you can be in some parts of California and it'd be totally different than other parts of California, because of course the state's so long, and it is actually kind of wide when you think about it. But so it's a big state, and I guess it didn't really dawn on me looking at a geography map how big it really is. But I didn't realize you can be at one part of the state and have to go, you know, many hours to get to the other part of the state. So anyway, another person had told me, actually Jan was telling me, that the ground is so hard in California, in some parts, that you get to dig really hard down to kind of get into the soil, the good soil area, and some of that's because of some purposeful engineering, some of that is just because geography has changed, right? That all being said, today is digging in ground day, okay? We have some foundational things. We're going to have to get through some hard ground area and punch through, because I want us to get down to the soil area where the soil is really good in us, because I want to throw some seed in there. And we're going to do something a little bit different today, and actually for the course of this next couple of weeks, Jeanette and I are going to teach this series together. It's not going to just be me teaching one part and her. We're going to teach it together. And I'm kind of excited about what that is going to look like. It's something that we haven't done before, but it's also something that I'm kind of excited about doing. So if I wanted to, I could probably spend, with the way our world is changing every week, I could probably spend every Sunday just addressing yet another thing happening in our nation. This is the signs of the time, guys. These are the signs of the times we're living in. And I think there's a lot of importance, especially from the faith perspective, to understand the signs of the times. But then Jeanette and I were talking about all of these signs coming, and of course Chattanooga is the one that's really fresh in our mind right now. And boy, that hit right close to home, because the attacker was working in Franklin. So I guess Franklin, Tennessee can no longer say it will never happen in Franklin, because you don't get much closer than that unless it actually happened in Franklin. So as Jeanette and I were talking about all this, and we're saying, well, how are we going to address it? I mean, it's every day there's something new. Every week there's something new. And in the body, while we don't want to ignore what's new, we also don't want to just become so heavy-hearted with what's going on. We need to get some balance of how do we live in this age. So this is where the hard ground now. We're going to start punching through some hard ground, and here's where this teaching is going to take us for the next couple weeks. We're going to journey through the Song of Solomon. That's the book we're going to use as our reference point. The outline you have, we're going to cover that in a second, but that outline is for your personal study use. Okay, you're going to need this for you. We may never touch on date parts of it on any given message, but you want this for you. Okay, this is add it to your library of stuff that you study. But Jeanette and I were talking about this, and I'll
borrow this to show you my example. Sorry, Josh, I'm going to take this off your board, okay, bub?
Okay.
The other day, Josh and I went into Guitar Center, and there were some things that Joshua had to purchase or was looking to purchase and save up money for. So as he's looking at stuff, and I knew he wanted this particular pedal. Okay, I knew this is a pedal that he wanted. And so as he was over there doing his thing, testing out pedals, he did not know that what I did is I had purchased this pedal for him. So he finishes up his stuff, and he's like, Dad, you know, I just finished working. I got paid. I have money. He said, I really need that. It's called a Hall of Fame pedal. I really need that Hall of Fame pedal, but, you know, I'm going to go to IHOP in a week. And I said, well, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to buy it? Do you want to buy it? And he goes, well, I'll just wait. So we walk out to the car, and he didn't even know, I'd already put this in the box in the car. So when he opened up the car, it was sitting in the passenger seat. And he did, so, oh my, okay. So he gives me a hug and everything, and he gave Jeanette a hug as we bought it for him. Now, I asked myself this question. The pedal's my visual. I asked myself this question. Why did I buy this pedal for Joshua? Was I trying to buy his love? Was I trying to buy his affection?
I was.
Jeanette was.
I don't get any unless I give some.
Or were they trying to earn some good credits, you know, some good vibes kind of thing? The answer was none of that. I bought this for him, Jeanette and I did. We bought this for him because it was our good pleasure to bless him. And the only reason I did this for him was because I am in relationship with him. He's my son, yes, but I know him a lot, really well. I know what he needs, I know what he wants. And in fact, the reason this pedal was purchased was because his teacher said, you need this pedal for where you're going to go further when you play music. This is an essential piece. So when I gave him this, when he saw he had it, I said, Joshua, this is the last pedal Mom and I are going to buy you because you now have all you need to go forward. Now you have to go forward. But we've given you everything on that board. It's all you need to go forward. And it was our good pleasure to do so. We have a love relationship with our son and our daughter. Now this brings us into the Song of Solomon, doesn't it? Because when we hear the book of Song of Solomon, show of hands, how many people even read the book? Just be honest. Okay. It's like half the room has read it. Okay. How many of you have, and don't feel bad, how many of you have really studied the book? Not just read it, study it. Okay, we got one. Oh, the hands just went. Thank you, Angela, for being honest with me. And thank you, everyone, who's going to put your hand up and be honest with you. How many of you believe you have an interpretation of the Song of Solomon, whether it's a favorite minister or something you've, you know, adopt, and you're like, I agree with that. How many of you have an interpretation of it that you kind of buy into? Okay, cool. I said that to say this. We're not going to try to advocate a this is how it is and all the others are wrong. That's why you have this outline. We're not going to try to advocate this is what it's all about, because as I had one brother talking to me about, when we talk about love, there's a lot of diversity of how love is in Scripture. I say, I love my bike. I love my wife. I love that food. Well, same love for all three things? Seems pretty odd. So we're not even going to try to break down love in its complexity. I want to talk about laying a principle of love. Just a guiding principle of love. This is that foundation now. We're punching through the hard ground, and we're getting into the soil where we're going to plant some seed. I want us to grab some understanding of a guiding principle of love. Because from that principle, we're going to learn how to endure. Okay, Jeanette is going to take on the next phrase.
This has been really fun and quite ironic that Joshua and I are going to do this today, because it so happens that today Joshua and I are celebrating our 18th anniversary. And I woke up this morning and I started to think, and Mona had written a song called, I don't even know how to say it in Hebrew. Here, how do you say Song of Solomon in Hebrew? Shir HaShirim?
Yes.
Yeah, which is Song of Solomon. And we walked down the aisle to that song. And here we are today, 18 years later. It's awesome. God's been so good to us. So good. That just occurred to me this morning, so sorry about the crying, because that wasn't on the script. Oh, let's pray. I know Josh would pray, but I have to pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray. I pray as the Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation be upon us, in us, and with us, that we may understand the deeper things of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as Joshua said, we don't, you know, we just have to look at the news, read the newspaper, the internet, whatever, we don't read newspapers anymore, but lawlessness is abounding. Lawlessness is abounding. And Jesus said, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So as we've been talking about this in our home, but Jesus said this, those who endure to the end will be saved. So our goal, our purpose is to receive revelation, to instruct in the days that are lawless and getting dark, so that our love for him does not grow cold. This is very important, because what church was it in Revelation? Laodicea?
Or Ephesus? No,
Ephesus. Yeah. Jesus said, "This one thing I have against you. You abandoned your first love." So we're living in those days, so we need to make sure, because we've got a lot of distractions, a lot of things that are happening to us, a lot of things that the enemy is stealing from us, because we know the word says that our love does not grow cold. So this is the purpose of this teaching and how it came about. So we've got a lot of stories today, because this is going to be a very high-level just introduction, so it starts to soak in your spirit. Joshua, several months ago, started to study in his personal study the wisdom book, so Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So as he reached the Song of Solomon, he started to talk to me about seasons and love of God, and so this conversation started to permeate. I love how God does this in our house. The conversation starts to permeate the atmosphere. And I'm telling you, if you don't wake up and go about the highway and the byway during your day speaking out the word of God in your house, do so. Because you will bump into revelation. It will just, you'll be doing the dishes and it'll just plop right in your spirit. Is that not true? So if you don't practice it, because it's good, it fills the atmosphere with the word of God and the spirit of God, and then he just reciprocates and starts to drop wisdom and revelation in your spirit. So what happened was, and we're going to share this, it's a little personal, but that's okay, because I think it's a great, great intro to what we want to teach. So Josh was studying the Song of Solomon, and he comes up to me, and he's real serious, and after a certain amount of years, you know, when somebody looks at you and says something, you have to stop and really pay attention. And he came to me, and he said, I want to tell you something, Jeanette. And I was like, my heart sunk. I'm like, now what? He said, I need to apologize to you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? You know, Miss Woman of Faith. I need to apologize because I have not loved you the way I should. I'm like, now I'm shocked, because I don't feel like he has not loved me the way I should. I feel honored, treasured, blessed, loved beyond. I know when he looks at me, I can feel it sometimes out of his eyes. I love her. So I'm just like, so I started to get nervous, and I'm like, don't say that. That's not true. You don't need to say that. He's like, no, listen to what I have to say. He said, I have to learn to love you better, because if I don't, I can't love the Lord the way I'm supposed to. Now I knew this was not about me. It was about something else. So I said, okay. So let him speak his peace. I took it and I said, Lord, there's something here now that I have to learn. Because if Josh at this point in his life is saying that he hasn't loved me better and he needs to love the Lord better, I, number one, need to understand what he was saying. And number two, it was a challenge to me. Do I love him better? And do I love the Lord better? So I started to just, you know, meditate on what he had said to me and kind of ask the Lord to please show me what he was saying, because quite frankly, I did not understand. And the Lord reminded me, favorite book, I love this book in the Bible. You want to learn a lot of things, read the book of Ephesians. The Lord reminded me of the scripture in Ephesians. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And I'm going to go down a couple of verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Then a little further down, it says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, the cherished church, the cherished bride of Christ. And if you don't know who that is you. That is me. We are his cherished bride. So then a little couple of verses down, verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning church, the church, and Christ. So it wasn't about husbands and wives. He was talking about this love relationship between Christ and the cherished bride. So we're going to look at the Song of Solomon through the paradigm, through the worldview of the love of Christ towards us and then us towards him, and how we grow in that love. And the awesome thing is, we all know, we've learned it here, we've talked a lot about it, that when the scripture says this is a great mystery, it is an invitation. He has just sent out an invitation to each and every one of us. I'm passing it out in the spirit. It's an invitation to seek revelation, to understand what that mystery means. There's a meaning. Every mystery needs to be solved. If you'll remember when we learned about Revelation, it said it was, Revelation meant opening the jar. Remember, open the lid and you look in. What was the Greek word?
That was that Greek word, apokalupsis. Apocalypse or revelation.
Exactly. And Jesus said this, so he says it to us. It's been granted to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So there is a mystery between this cherished bride and this awesome king that God wants us to walk in and understand, and he doesn't want us to grow cold because the days are getting dark. Amen? So what I came to understand when Joshua said what he said to me was, number one, it did have to do with me, but it really didn't have to do with me. But what he was saying was this, not that he didn't love me right, but he was seeing, oh my goodness, I've been immature in my love towards Jeanette. It's not about works. I got to do this for her. I got to do this. Though he does do those things. But that's the overflow of that love. But what he came to see was that he was growing in passion and maturity in his love towards me. And as a consequence, it became this beautiful metaphor, which is a reality because scripture says so. That's how he has to be with the Lord. That's how we have to be with the Lord. So that's how we're going to journey through this book. And I wanted to say this little thing because a lot of us say, oh, I want to do for God. I want to be a worker, 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 worker. A lover of God will outwork a worker of God any day. Because it's out of the overflow of that love that we work. The lover of God endures to the end. 18 years since the day I married him, we've been in church working. And I've seen so many people, so many workers fall to the wayside because, and they burn out, and they, I don't want to know about church, I don't want to know about God, because it wasn't about working. It was about loving him.
Yes, that's right.
Loving him. And because we love him, we work for him. There's not one thing Joshua doesn't do for me. Yolanda makes fun of me. She said, you are so spoiled. I am spoiled. It's true. It's like, Josh, can you, I got it for you, da-da-da-da, because he loves me. But it comes out of love, not because he has to do. So this never has to be about doing. It always has to be about loving him. So how many of us long to love God better? Two hands, two feet. If I had eight legs, I'd be doing it up, right? How about this? Do you desire, or do you have revelation, understanding of how he sees you in this journey? I need to see that. I need to learn, really, how does God see Jeanette in this journey? Because we put these false things upon ourselves, right, Wendy? We put these false things about ourselves, and you know what? God doesn't see us half the time the way we see ourselves. So we need to get revelation, and we're going to see this in the Book of Solomon. That's the most beautiful thing about this book. So as we go through this book, we're going to pray and believe that God is going to unveil this mystery of the cherished bride of Christ and this relationship, because that's what it's about. So I want to say a couple things for the guys, because we're going to encourage you all during these weeks to please read this book. Pray this book. But I want to say for the guys, this does not, young ones, listen, does not diminish your masculinity. Because there's a lot of flowery language in there. Kisses and pomegranates and fragrant oils. It's just really beautiful. And think about King David. He was a mighty warrior, but he said, I'll gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. So, and I can tell you this. You want your wife or your future wife to love you? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's nothing more handsome than a man that loves God with all his being.
Amen.
All his being. So as we go through, we're going to see. The song is going to reveal this pattern. She starts immature, and we're going to see as we go through the eight chapters how her love matures through this story. And we're going to understand this. And I found this scripture studying, and I was like, why did I ever... You ever say, how come I never saw that, even though I read it 20 times? You know, there is an understanding as we go through the book and the pattern. And we've talked about patterns here a lot. We did Nehemiah. Remember when we studied through Nehemiah? We saw the pattern. The tabernacle, we saw the pattern. Revelation, we saw the pattern. Going back to Genesis. So there's a pattern in the Song of Solomon. And we're going to learn to understand what it's like, how the Father loves the Son. And Jesus said this, and I was like blown away. And we're going to learn and trust God and believe that we're going to receive this, because it's like almost incredible, mind-blowing. Jesus said this in John 17:26. He said, "And I have declared to them your name." This is before he's getting arrested, his prayer, his intercessory prayer. He said, "And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." And I'm going to say it again because I missed it several times. "That the love with which you loved me be in them." So Jesus was saying that the love the Father has for Jesus be in us. That we love Jesus the way the Father loves Jesus. Mm. Oh my goodness. Let's get real. Who here loves Jesus the way the Father does? Right? Right? So this is exciting. This is exciting. These are the things that are not going to let you grow cold in lawlessness and distractions and all this awesome stuff. So, and I looked up this word because he said, "I declare it." So we need to understand what that really means. I looked it up in the Greek, and it says, "to manifest to the sight and to render evident to the mind." Therefore, when Jesus declared and decreed that the love the Father has for him be in us, he declared it that it be made manifest visually and mentally. It is a reality. What Jesus said and whatever he's prayed, all his promises are yes and amen. Correct? This is a reality that we can walk in. We can walk in this reality. So the song is going to reveal to us that passion, and we're gonna walk in that. And the beautiful thing about this is we're going to find ourselves along this journey with the Song of Solomon, that some of us are maybe a little ahead, some of us are a little bit behind, some of us are way behind. But the cool thing is this. The Lord, his affection towards us never changes no matter where we are in the journey. So long we are on the journey, enduring to the end. And this is the important part, because sometimes we get all hung up on ourselves because we see ourselves not the way God sees ourselves, and we start to feel this is not about condemnation. It's about enduring to the end and knowing that just the way we love Joshie and Zoe in their immaturity, that doesn't change, and that's how the Father is with us. So awesome. So we're basically going to walk through this, and at the end, we're going to grow, and we're gonna have to live this every day, every day, every day. So for the purpose of today, Joshua will close out just giving a little wrap-up of some historical facts and some more scripture, because we obviously this is an introduction. But I want to encourage everybody, I'd almost like you to make a semi-pact with me, that you will read through this book. You will read through it. And that you will pray. And what I've been doing is, and I can show you, what I've been doing is, there are certain scriptures in there that will bear witness to your spirit. And you just go around praying those scriptures. I've been praying this one. I said, Lord, she said, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for your love is stronger than death. And I'll just go about my day. Lord, set me as a seal upon your heart. Then he said, he invited me to the banquet house, and his banner over me is love. And I'll just be typing at that desk, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, you invited me to the banquet house. Your banner over me is love. Kiss me with the kisses of your word, because your love is greater than the wine of this world. Let it sink in you, because as we start to talk it and pray it, it manifests and it becomes real. Amen.
Amen.
It's
my part.
Amen. I gotta really do good to get a clap. Okay, now go to that outline real quick. I want you to look at it, but I want to point something out in that outline to you. So as Jeanette said, as you personally start reading through this, and as you personally start trying to unpack it and allow the Holy Spirit to show it to you. You'll kind of have an idea of how the book itself is laid out. So there's basically three sections of how the book itself is constructed. And the reason it's called a Song of Solomon, again, we lose sight of this because it's not how we speak today. It's not how we live today. We just don't. This was literally written as a song. So it of course, we're not in the Middle East mindset. We don't understand how the Hebraic mindset works. So the language to us sounds really kind of flowery. It doesn't sound like it's 2015 by any means. But if you were to put it within the context of when it was written, you'd be like, wow, this is a number one hit. This is top 40, and it's playing on the top list every day. So it's constructed like a song is constructed. You know how a song starts, introduction, then it has its verse, then it has a chorus, then it has a bridge, then it has another verse, same kind of thing. So just look at your outline real quick. There are three sections to this song. That's why it's called the Song of Solomon. There are, if you go on to that second page, you'll see that there is actually 1, 2, 3, 4 different ways that people, theologians, historians, have tried to understand this book. Here you go. Ready? They're all right. Now, that one doesn't seem like that's very biblical, because usually people say, no, I got to be a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 4. In fact, I would almost bet money on it. I'm not a betting man, so I don't bet money. But the expression, I'd bet money on it, that if you call up a friend of yours who's a fellow believer and say, we're studying the Song of Solomon, and they say, oh, what do you think of it? And you say, I personally believe 1, 2, 3, or 4. They'll say, I don't believe that. I believe it's this. Here's the great thing about this particular wisdom book. It is a wisdom song, which means it has a lot of interpretation, and it has a lot of meaning to the people who are listening and reciting and getting the song. So here's what I want to encourage you. All four are correct. All four have validity and strength and power into them. And that's why Jeanette and I are not trying to sell you on one or two or three or four. We're trying to say the whole book is wisdom from God to you. It's a song for you. Now, if you are ethnic Israel, right, who understand the covenant of Abraham, the song is going to have a life to you. If you are Gentiles brought into the covenant, it's going to have a different life to you. If you have a practical application, like, well, what do I do with that right now? How does that verse that Jeanette said, how does that speak to me now? You'll find that as well. And what we want to do in this book is, as you read this, this is what this outline is for. Like I said, we may not go through this outline word by word, verse by verse. This is for you. As you go through this outline, I encourage you to bring it, of course, but as you go through it, I want you to find the application. Because as Jeanette said, we're all in different stages of maturity. I can get up and say, well, this is what it says. And I have no idea what that means. And you might say, well, I think it means something else. Good. Because we're all in different stages of maturity. We're all growing. And I was talking to Jan. Jan came by the house the other day to talk to Jeanette for a few minutes. And I said, Jan, what's on your mind? And she said, well, Daniel's on my mind. Daniel from the Bible. Not some random guy. Dan's on my mind. Oh, we got to talk to Rich about that. And I said, well, what about it? And this is a common thread. You know, we're going to talk about this after we get through this book, by the way. Daniel endured to the end. How? Because he was a covenant person? Because he was really good looking? Really smart? How? He loved God. Remember what we said about Stephen in Acts 6 and Acts 7? It said that he spoke and he had eyes only for God. Why did Stephen not just give up? Why did he, when the rocks were pelting him, say, hey, I take it back? Because he was enduring to the end, because the scripture says he had eyes only for God. He loved God. This idea of love as a principle, we're trying to lay a foundation principle for love, because we are called to endure to the end. And this is what I've been praying personally. I've been praying, and I've been praying it for you guys as well. So you've been all week being prayed for this. I said, Lord, let the spirit of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego rise up in our people. What that means to me, as I'm understanding it right now, is let the love that those men had for you help us so we endure to the end. When you're in a lion's den, when you're in a fiery furnace, when you don't, if you're in exile, when your kingdom falls right in front of you, when you don't know if the person that you once loved still loves you anymore, that's part of this song. I love you, and I don't love you like I thought I did. I'm really liking what this is over here. And yet the song of the Lord starts wooing back the heart. Starts pulling us back. Because at the end, it's about enduring to the end. This is Revelation. Endure to the end. But it's dark, it's lawless, and my job might be going away, and my marriage is this, and my friends are that. Guys, look, you don't have to be married to read this. Young people, you don't have to be in a relationship to read this, because the relationship you need to be in is with God.
Amen.
You need to be in a relationship with God. So let me just add this last thought, and then we're going to close this up. Jeanette said about when I said, Jeanette, I need to learn how to love you better. She used the word immature. Guys, 18 years of being married, and I still had an immature love with my wife. Grab hold of that for a second. Doesn't mean I didn't love her less. Doesn't mean I didn't had eyes for something else. It meant I realized because I did not love God maturely, I was loving him immaturely. I had a lot of immature relationships out here. I had an immature relationship with this church. Because I loved this church, but I didn't understand it from the context of loving God. I loved my wife, but not in the context of God. I loved my family, but not within the context of God. I loved certain friends in my life, but not within the context of God. And so as God started working on me, I said, Jan, it's not about loving God
more, like works. It's about loving him better. It's not about loving you more. Like, oh, if I do this for her, then she'll really love me. Or if I buy Joshua 59 petals, then he'll really love me. And, oh, then he'll be like, oh, yeah, we got it. We're a team now. No, it's not about that. But can I tell you something? When you start loving God better, you will discover ways to love him more. Amen. It'll just come out of your heart. You'll be like, oh, man, I'm in so much love with you. Lord, what can I do? Oh, God, I want to do this for you. Why did you do that for me? Because I love you, God. I'm in relationship with you. I find ways to do things to express a more mature love with my family and with my wife. Because I love them better. I want to find ways to love God better. When I do, I'll do more. And you know what? He'll give me his spirit. And when his spirit's in me, he'll equip me to do more. And he'll anoint me to do more. And I'll do things I didn't even know I could do. Because he's like, man, I love you and you love me. And we're in this relationship. And it's as simple as this petal. Lord, I don't have what I need. But I have all for you. And we're in covenant together. So guess what? I have all your need. I'll provide it. So you can go ahead and love me better and do more. And this is that relationship I'm trying to grab us at. So don't get all weirded out about, well, love, ooh, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of weird. It's a weird concept. No, no, it's not. God's calling us into the deeper relationship, the more mature relationship. Okay? Let's pray. Like, as Jeanette said, this is just that high level overview. This is like the 10,000 feet we're flying over. We're saying, look out your left window and you'll see Song of Solomon on the left. Okay, so you saw it. Now we're going to actually land the plane over the next couple of weeks, and then we're going to get into it. And then we're going to see how this unfolds. Because there are characters, and you're going to find yourself in the character roles as well. It's kind of a really cool story how it all plays out. Some believe, like I said, it's literal. Some say it's allegorical. Some say it's spiritual. Some say it's typical. The reality is they all have validity. Rastar. You know, Solomon, there's really high evidence to believe Solomon wrote this. When Solomon wrote this, he's a man who learned how to love wrong and learned how to love right. That's why it's called a wisdom book. He learned how to love immature, and he learned after all the immature relationships kind of fizzled out, what really was left over. There, I read one commentarian say this, that the dating of this book probably is Solomon nearing the end of his life, like around Ecclesiastes.
That makes sense.
And that his son, Rehoboam, who was going to inherit the throne after him, was not loving as Solomon was loving at his later years. Now, if you look in your book of Kings, you'll realize Rehoboam gets in the throne, and no sooner does he get on the throne, he splits the kingdom in half. Okay? We don't have a man who loved God like his father did. And so some are saying that Solomon wrote this also as a kind of, son, get this in your spirit. You need this. And I'm saying for us, guys, let's get this in our spirit. We need this. We don't want fractured kingdoms. We don't want fractured church. We don't want fractured relationships. We don't want fractured marriages. We want the church. We want relationships. We want marriages. We want friendships to endure to the end. It can only happen if the love of God is right in here deep with you. Now let's pray. Go ahead, Jim. Close it down. Yep.
Well, why don't we stand?
Good.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnyan was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.